commentaries by Sanatana Goswami on the Dharma Darastikam prayers by Satyabrata Muni. And these prayers, Dharma Darastikam, are found in the, I think it's Padma Puran. They're written, you know, long, long ago. And it was a conversation between Satyabrata Muni and Narada and Shanaka and other sages. Sanatana Goswami, in his commentary, he says that these prayers are it's nitya siddha vandaram. It's an eternally perfect prayer. And it was manifested through Satyabrata Muni. In other words, it's eternal. It's eternally existing, this prayer, this glorification. But the means or the medium for manifesting that or bringing that to us was Satyabrata Muni. And this prayer is actually capable of attracting Damodar Krishna. The pastime of Krishna Damodar Bandana Leela was manifested on the day of Kartik Shukla Pratipad, which means the first day after, that means Anukup day actually. Kartik Shukla Pratipad, the day after the dark moon in the month of Kartik. That's interesting. So, the day of Anukut, when Krishna later on, when he was 5 or 6 or something, when he did Anukut, when he was a young boy, when he was like 3 years old, something like 3 years old, and when he was in Gokul, on that same day he had this pastime of Damodar Leela. Right? Pratipat, the day after the dark moon day in the month of Kartik. So when's the dark moon day in the month of Kartik? It's called Diwali.
Yeah,
Amavasya means dark moon. Means Diwali. So the day after that, then he manifested this pastime when he was a young boy in Gokul. And later on, the day after that, he lifted over on hill. Right? The observance of the Kartik Vrata is one of the most important things for Vaishnavas. It's an article by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That Vrata is observed during the month of Kartik is called Niyam Seva. The rules for observing this Niyam Seva, according to this article by Bhaktivinoda, every day during the month one must rise upon the last hour of night, bathe and perform Mangalarti of Krishna. After bathing in the morning one should worship Damodar. At night one should light brilliant lamps filled with ghee or sesame oil and place them in these places. Lord's temple, at the base of plants and in the sky. That's told in Nectar Devotion also, you should have a lamp. There's always you burn lamps everywhere. Of course we offer a lamp to Damodar, so that covers it. But temples usually do that. They have lamps hanging here and there. In Damodar temple they always have a lamp. One should renounce excess sleeping and eating, avoid using oil, and after honoring prasadam, one should recite or hear scriptures such as Bhagavatam in the company of Vaishnavas. There should be incessant Harinam Kirtan and Smarana. On the final Uttan Ekadasi, one should stay awake all night absorbed in Krishna Katha. The next day, after purifying oneself and engaging in Hari Kirtan, one should serve Lord's Prasad to one's dear most intimate Vaishnava associates. That's if you start on Ekadasi. If you start on Purnima, then you wait till Purnima. Because there's Ekadasi, then 3 days later is Purnima. The chief aim of observing this Vrata, which is called Urja Vrata, is to please Radha Damodar. And Satyabrata Muni, in the last shloka of this verse, he says, Namo Radhikaya Tvadiya Priyaya. And this phrase, Namo Radhikaya Tvadiya Priyaya, he's indicating that the sole activity to be done during the observance of Damodar Vrata is the worship of Radha Damodar. Like in the prayer, he's talking about Mother Yashoda binding Krishna and chasing him. But in the end, he says, "Oh, I offer my obeisances to the Priyaji, to Radharani." And that it's indicating there at the end, Madhuram Samapayat, saving the sweetest thing till the end, that actually this is how we should spend the month, worshipping Radha Damodar. I know in the early days, a devotee, they asked Prabhupada, "Oh, Prabhupada, should we have a picture of Yashoda Damodar on the altar?" And Prabhupada said, he didn't go into the tattva, but he says, "Not necessary. Not necessary. You just offer your Gita to Radha and Krishna." Like I saw downstairs, Vajari put up a little picture. He opened the book with a picture of Yashoda and Damodar. You know, Mother Yashoda and Damodar. But actually, we're worshipping Radha and Damodar this month. That's why Damodar Temple is so popular, because Radha and Damodar are there. Let's sing the first verse. Namam Ishvaram Satchirananda Rupam Vasat Kundalango Kule Vajamanam Yashoda Viyo Yukala Dravamanam Param Vistam Atyantanto Jutidopya. So this verse says, in other words, the idea is that we should meditate on this verse every day and try to understand the meaning of this verse. So Sanatana Goswami has written this entire commentary to explain. It says namami, like namam ishvaram, right? Namam ishvaram, so it's nama and ishvara. So namami means I, namami, I offer my respectful obeisances. So before he starts describing the Lord, he offers his obeisances. Just like before you do service or before you offer artik, you offer obeisances to Guru with the same word, Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya. So before he starts worshipping Damodar and finally Radha Damodar, he offers his obeisances. And it's also an invocation. It's an invocation. The word is indicated. Namami indicates an auspicious invocation. Mangala Artam. At the start of all functions, it's customary to offer respects to the Ishvara, which express an attitude of devotional service unto the Lord. So he starts off, Namam Ishvaram. So I offer my respectful obeisances to the Supreme Lord, Ishvara. Parama Krishna, Krishna. And then throughout this discussion, these prayers, he discusses different visheshas. Vishesha means the excellence of something, the vishesh. For example, there's tattva vishesh, rupa vishesh, prayojana, parivara vishesh, lila vishesh, Sandari Vishesh, Sneha Vishesh, all these Visheshas, which means the excellence or the wonderful attributes of something. So Tattva means the actual truth. So in this first verse, when he says Namam Ishvaram, he's establishing Tattva Vishesh, which means the excellence or the actual truth of Krishna. Yes, Krishna is, I'm offering obeisances unto whom? The Ishvara. Well, who is that Ishvara? Well, he's the Sarva Shakti Manta. In other words, he's a Shaktiman, right? Shakti is Radharani, and Shaktiman means he possesses all the different energies and all the different potencies. And he's a Jagattaka Nata, Jagatnath, right? We say Jagannath. He's the Lord. He's the only Lord of the whole universe. Jagateka Nath. Jagat Eka Nath. He's the one Lord of the entire universe. That's why he's a controller. He has unlimited potencies. That's why he's Ishvara. Namam Ishvaram. Then Nija Prabhu. Ishvara also means master. So he's Nija Prabhu, means he's my master. So we address him in order to obtain the power or Shakti needed to offer the prayer. So this is very nice. Namam Ishvaram. Now, then he defines Satchidananda Rupam. So first he establishes that Krishna, he's going to do some incredible things here. I'm going to offer a prayer and describe some amazing things about Krishna that are, they don't, they may, if you don't understand the tattva first, then you won't understand the leela. That's why first we have tattva vishesh, then rupa vishesh, then leela vishesh. First is tattva vishesh, the excellence of the truth, the actual excellence of the Lord's truth. That's tattva vishesh. Then rupa vishesh means the excellence, or the super excellence of his rupam, his beauty. And then we have parivar. Parivar means his family, his associates. So then we have the excellence or the glories of his associates. And then we have leela. So this prayer goes through these, this evolution. Sanatana Goswami is very analytical to all these things. So he prays to the Lord like that. Then he says, so how is this Ishvara manifested? Sachit Ananda Rupam. That the Supreme Controller, Namam Ishvaram Sachit Ananda Rupam. He's an Ishvara. He's a Supreme Controller, but he has a form, a beautiful form. Sachit Ananda Rupam. So now, so that's, his form is compressed clouds of eternality, bliss, and knowledge. Now he discusses Rupa Vishesh. What does he say? Lasat Kundalam Gokule Brajamanam. So, Lasat Kundalam. Kundalam means, alright, the Supreme Lord, the Ishvara, he has a Rupam. Sachit Ananda Rupam. But what is that Rupam? What does it look like? What is he? What are some specifics? Like you say, oh, she's a beautiful girl. Well, what do you mean, beautiful girl? Beautiful. What do you mean by beauty? Oh, her eyes are like this, her hair is like this, she walks like this, she talks like this, she dresses. Somehow you'll describe the attributes. So the description of the attributes of beauty is called Rupa Vishesh, or the excellence of beauty. So it starts off with Lasat. Lasat means lasanti. Lasat means swinging. Swinging on his ears. And a kundalam. Lasat kundalam. So due to the maha-sobhagya, a great fortune of personally kissing Damodar's divine cheeks, these earrings have attained a position of super excellence above all his other ornaments. So Sanatana Goswami is explaining that Krishna has many ornaments. He has armlets and armbands, and he has bangles on his wrist, and he has necklaces around his neck, and he has waist belts on his waist, and he has some tiger teeth necklace or tiger claws, the claws of a tiger, tiger claws necklace. A little boy, when he was in Gokul, he wore this for protection from Shani, from Shanivar, from evil elements. Then when he came on Gochar and Leela later, he didn't wear that. As a young baby, he wore these tiger claws. That's very tiger claws set in gold with small pearls embedded in the gold fitting or setting. Very beautiful tiger claws. Represent, you'd rather have them around your neck than on your neck. Because if they're around your neck, that means that you got them before they got you. You got them and you made a necklace out of their nails. But if they're in your neck, the claws are in your neck, that means you've been gotten by the tiger. So he has all these different ornaments and decorations. But, and then he even has a nose ring. At the end of his nose, he has a beautiful pearl ring set in gold. Very opulent. It's called a Hati Moti. Hati Moti, you know? Hati Moti? Hati Moti means elephant pearl. It means from inside the head of an elephant, certain rare elephants, time to time, they produce a pearl inside their head. It's like an oyster in the ocean. Usually cheap pearls come from oysters. But in gemology, if you study gemology, and the Vedic gem science, you see there's five different kinds of pearls. One comes from a pig, a boar, a wild boar, inside his root of his tooth is formed. Another is that's Hati Moti, that's inside the head of the elephant, and you don't find out till you kill the elephant. And then the other is Sarp Moti, on the head of a snake. Then the cheapest one is in the ocean, from an oyster. And that's the one that people who can't even afford to buy, pure pearls. But anyway, these are very rare and very costly. So that's what Krishna has here on the end of his nose, Ati Moti. But higher than the nose is the ears, right? So on the ears he has the Makar Kundala. So they're situated in the highest place. That's why he says it. Your divine cheeks are always being kissed by your Kundalam, your Makar Kundalam. They're always swinging, they're long. And so Makar, of course, is like a, sometimes they say it's like a shark, but it's a ancient sea creature that has a body like a porpoise, a nose or a snout or a nose like an elephant, you know, a trunk of an elephant. And then he his mouth is like alligator, you know, crocodile. Big long rows of teeth, an elongated mouth. There's a long mouth, and then like an alligator mouth, there's so many teeth, 300 teeth. Then he has a fat body of a porpoise. Then he has, coming above his long mouth, is instead of just a blunt nose, he has this elephant-like trunk. It's called Makar. You know, Makar. So, this Makar, he is the Viman for Kandarpa, for Cupid. He's the carrier for Cupid. Just like, what is the Viman, or the carrier of Brahma? Swan. What is the Viman of Shiva? Nandi, the bull. What is the Viman of Kartikeya? Huh? Peacock. What is the Viman of Indra?
Aravata.
Hati, elephant, Aravata. What is the Viman of Ganga?
Crocodile.
What is the Viman of Jamuna? Kachua. So this is very, very symbolic because Krishna is the Kamadev. He's a transcendental Kamadev who attracts and satisfies the senses of all living entities who offer their heart and soul to him. So his earrings are dancing, his makar are dancing. And he's dancing, and he's playing his flute, and he's moving in so many attractive and sweet ways and displaying so many ecstatic rasa-filled pastimes that they attract the hearts of everyone to give up their attempts to find Cupid in this world and find Cupid with Krishna, because that also means the Kundalam. So Lasanti means, say Lasat Kundalam. Lasanti also means these earrings are glistening, and because they are enriched with the splendors of fulgence of the Lord's bodily complexion. Therefore, Krishna's body is the ornament of all ornaments. So these Makar Kundal, they're made of gold or silver, sometimes solid gold or silver, or sometimes embedded with jewels. But they're reflecting like a mirror, like a shiny object, a shiny metal object will reflect. So they're reflecting in the beauty of Krishna. So that's something about Rupa Vishesh, the beauty of Krishna. So now you have Krishna's tattva, the truth, the excellence of his truth as the Ishvara. Now something of his beauty. Now the Parivar Vishesh, this means the attributes or the excellence of his family. So now we say, Namam Ishvaram Sat Chirananda Rupam Lasat Kundalam Gokul, right? Gokule Braja Manam. So Gokul. Gokul indicates that place where gopas, gopis, cows and calves and so forth reside. And the word Vrajamanam indicates a befitting place where Krishna can manifest an excellence that surpasses that of previous leelas. Just like when we say praying Dvani, we say Sri Sri Radha Krishna Guru Gopa Gopi. This is Prabhupada sometimes said it very fast on tapes. He says Sri Sri Radha Krishna Guru Gopinath. Go Gopinath, go, go, go Gopinath, go, go. Go Gopinath. Actually it's supposed to be Go Gopa Gopinath. Go Gopa Gopi. Shamukhan. All glories to the Go and the Gopi and the Gopa. So Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopa Gopi. Shamukhan Radhakun Gopa. We usually say Sri Sri Radha Krishna Go Gopinath. Because the Prabhupada says that on a tape, but anyway, so Gokula means all these things. Gokula Brajamanam. Gokule Brajamanam, Gokula. So now we have the Ishvara as a transcendental form, and it's not only transcendental, it's very beautiful with this Kundalam. And he's in Gokula, where all the gopis and gopis. And then the next thing that comes up is Leela Vishesh. Now the Leela begins, the pastimes. Yashoda biyo yukalad. So Yashoda, as you know, is his mother. Yashoda biyo biyo yukalad ulukad. So the word Yashoda means his mother, and biya biyo lukalad means that biya means fear, like bayam. He's afraid of being punished by his mother for breaking the ulukalat. So it's bayam, bayam, ulukalat. Ulukalat means the mortar. So he's afraid of that. Brahmanam. So ulukalat means from the mortar, because Krishna took a large wooden grinding mortar, turned it on his end and climbed on it, and then he jumped down and ran away. Dhavamanam means he speedily runs away. Yashoda, out of fear of stealing the butter, he ran away. Param ristam atyantam toju de gopya. Then tato drutya. Tato drutya means very swiftly. He ran very, very fast. Paramristam atyantato drutya gopya. Well, who's his gopya? Gopya. So the word paramristam. Paramristam means that Yashoda grabbed him from the back. She was running behind him. Then she grabbed him, catching hold of him from the back. And Atyanta Tato Drutya means she was running behind Krishna very swiftly. He was running, Dvavamanam, and she was running behind him. Atyam Tato Drutya. She was running behind him and she grabbed him in the back of the neck. Hey, you rascal, stop. So now, it says here, this also included here, is Saundarya Vishesh, the excellence of beauty. Because, of course, this comes from meditation. When you meditate, as you're supposed to meditate on these verses, individually, then collectively with the ultimate conclusion. So Mother Yashoda is chasing him, but what does Mother Yashoda look like? So then, when you meditate on Mother Yashoda, you meditate on the scene, Krishna with his Makar Kundal and his tiger tooth necklace, and his little chain of bells around his waist, and he's cudgel, and he's running and crying. So you meditate on his form, then you meditate on the form of his mother, Yashoda. So Yashoda says that she's atyanto druta. I mean, she's running very speedily. But what does she look like? Well, she has very broad hips, as he's explained, and she has full breasts like water pots, and she's full of affection for Krishna. So now we say Gopya. when I say the word Gopya, because we say Param Yashoda Biya, so he's afraid. But when I say Gopya, it refers to the grand fortune that came upon the Gopa caste, the coward men, by having Krishna appearing amongst them. So then also there's, in this verse, it indicates Sneha Vishesh. Sneha Vishesh means the excellence of affection. Sneha is a type of prema. There's Sneha, Man, Pranaya, Rag, Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav, all these different types of prema. So Sneha Vishesh means the excellence or the wonderful expression of the intimate love of Mother Yashoda. So that's being seen here. So here we establish in this verse that the Namam Ishwaram, I offer my respects to the Supreme Controller, he's such an Ananda Rupam, just as we have the same description in Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma, right? Ishvara Paramam Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadi Radhiva Vidya Svavakarnakaranam Govindamari Purusham Tanaham Vajrami. So Brahma, he's saying, yes, you're the Parameshwara, you're so great. So Satyabhata Muni, he's saying, I offer my respects unto you, just as Brahma does. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajrami. Vajrami means I respect you, I worship you, I honor you. So he's saying, Namam Ishwaram Sachidananda Rupam. So this is, he's establishing that the Supreme Absolute Truth, Krishna, Supreme Controller, he's being chased by his mother. And God is being chased with a stick in her hand, and he's afraid of her. First of all, how does God be afraid of anyone? Because he's Yad Bibeti Swayambhayam. Yad Bibeti Swayambhayam. In second canto of Bhagavatam says Yad Bibeti Swayambhayam. That he's Swayambhayam. He's a personified, even fear personified is afraid of Krishna. Even fear can't stand before the Lord. Fear runs and flee the Lord. But here we find the Lord fleeing out of fear of his mother. Bia means bayam. Like we say, abhay charana vindam. Right? So we say, param rishtam atyant, or it's yashoda biyo mukalad. Ulakad means a grinding mortar. And bhaya means fear. So fear of what he did with the grinding mortar, standing on it, stealing butter and yogurt. He's running away. But in this, implied in this is what we call Sneha Vishesh. Sneha Vishesh means, from this pastime we see the affection Mother Yashoda has. She's chasing after Krishna. And this is a very intimate exchange between Krishna and his pure devotees. They have this kind of sweet exchange. So second verse, we can sing together. Rudanta muhur netra yugmam rajantam taram bhoja yugmena santanka netram muhu swashakam pati rekanka kanta stita grevam damodaram bhaktivaram. So Rudanta means to cry, right? Muhur netra means eyes, yugam means two eyes. Rijanta means to rub or to clean, like Marjanandam, Chaitodavanam Marjanam. It means to clean or to rub. So this verse tells us Lila Vishesh. It explains the excellence of Krishna's pastimes. Now we're starting to get into more detail. The details of this pastime that's described in this Ashtakam are now being revealed. First word is Rudantam. Rudantam means Rodana. Rodana means crying. So you know Hindi is quite advantageous. So when he saw the whipping stick in the mother's hand and apprehending being struck by it, Krishna behaved as if terrified, so that she would see his distress and think he's afraid of being punished. He hoped that by her seeing this attitude of his, she would not hit him with the stick. So, like, Krishna thought that if I start crying, she's always crying, he must be afraid of me, I better not hit him. I'm really not chasing. So Krishna planned that. He said, yes, as soon as I saw that whipping stick in her hand, I thought I was going to get struck, so I started crying, ooh, don't hit me, oh, don't hit me. So that, thinking in that way, that he would be spared punishment, then karam bhoja yugmena nature yugmam rajantam. Kara means hand, and ambhoja means lotus. Yugmena means his pair. Yugmena and yugmam rajantam, right? Karam. Karam bhoja, what does it say? Karam bhoja yugmena santanka netram. So, excuse me. Rajantam uhur nature yugmam rajantam. So he's rubbing his nature, his two eyes, with his hands. And by doing that, his kajal is being smeared all over the place, the cosmetic on his eyes. And karambhoja yugmena. Yugmena is the same as yugmam. Yuga means yoga. It means that with his two hands, he's doing that. He's rubbing that. He's rubbing his eyes. He's crying, rubbing his hands. Tears are forming in his eyes. And he rubbed them again and again to make all the tears fall out. Santanka netram. He was afraid of his mother's punishment. So he was expressing how much he was terrified by crying so much. Then muhuswasha. Muhuswasha, right? Muhuswasha kampa. Kampa, you know, right? It's a symptom of an advanced devotee. Sri Vigrahara Dharani Chanana. Right? Romancha Kampa Sutaranga Vasha. Romancha Kampa. Ashru. Ashru is tears. Romancha is hair standing in end. Kampa is trembling. Shaking, shivering. Muhuswashena. Due to crying and sobbing again and again, Kampat. Right, he's trembling. Kampat. Then Chirekanka. Tree means three, and Reka means lines. So on his neck, there are three lines that are just like a conch shell. Then what does it say? Muhuswasha Kampa Chireka Kanta. Stita Grivam Damodaram Bhakti Bhadam. So this means Kanta means neck, and Sita Grava means pearl necklace. So he's crying and rubbing his hands like this and shaking his head, and his necklaces on his chest are going back and forth. The Chirekanka, and three lines on his neck are there. So it's very much describing the details of this Leela. Then Damodaram Bhakti Bhadam. Bhakti Bhadam. Bhadam. So he's bound. Bhakti Bhadam Damodaram. Udara. Udara means waist. Udara. Dhamma Udara. Udara. Udara means waist and Dhamma means rope. So Bhakti Bhadam. Bhadam, like we say, Nitya Bhadha. The bound jiva, the conditioned soul. So Bhakti Bhadam. Bhadam. Badam, Badham, means he's bound by devotion, but it's symbolized by the rope. The knots were tied on the rope both to his belly and to the mortar. This indicates the particulars of Krishna's excellence known as Bhaktivashyata or Bhaktivatsalya, which means coming under the control of his devotees. Bhaktyeva Badam. So this Bhakti Badam refers to that Badam means to be bound, to be tied. So Bhakti, Krishna is only tied by devotion, and he's only tied by devotees. Only devotees can capture the Lord, and only devotees can tie him up in their hearts. He responds only to Bhakti. He is bound to the loving parental devotion Yashoda has. And from his viewpoint, he's bound to the Bhaktivatsyata. So the word bhada means willingly accepted the binding, although no rope had the power to bind him. When she put all the ropes together in the house, what happened? All the ropes were 2 inches too short. So much is discussed here, Bhakti Bhadam. The reason for this characteristic of the rope around his waist is Bhaktyeva Bhadam. So they brought so many ropes. What do the ropes represent? The ropes represent material endeavor. By material endeavor, by material work, by material object, you can't tie up Krishna. Damodaram Bhakti Bhadam. So there's no way to tie up Krishna except by devotional effort, by spiritual effort. So this is also explained. Because, you know, she tried and tried, she had all the ropes in the village and she couldn't tie Krishna up. So Bhaktyaiva Bhadam. So much is there. Stita Gravam Damodaram Bhakti Bhadam. Right? When we sing now, we can try to appreciate. Stita Gravam, there's around his neck is a beautiful pearl necklace. And Mother Yashoda is trying to bind his belly, Damodaram, with a rope. But he can only be bound by Bhakti Bhadam. So this phrase gives proof that Krishna is controlled by his devotees. In fact, he performs this pastime and all other pastimes because of the devotion of his devotees. That's nice. Now, number three. We can sing that one. Iti drikswalila bir anandukunde swagoshani majantam apyapayantam tariyeshita geshu bhaktarjitatvam puna primatastam shatavritivande swalila, right? Iti drik. Drik means darshan. Drishyate or driksh. So iti drik. This shows swa lila. Swa means my own, lila, pastimes. Ananda kunde, like this is Radhakund. And then there's Radhakund and there's Shamakund, right? Govindakund, and there's Anandakund, like Vishramanand. So you're falling into the Vishram Kund. You're falling into the Kund of sleep. Deep dark Kund. Kund means a well or lake. Lake or pond. Bhojan, then Vishram, then Bhajan. Bhojan is eating. So I eat when the stomach is full. When the stomach goes up, then the eyelids come down. You fill this up, then to counteract this upward rising of the stomach, full of food, then these go down. When this goes down, this becomes empty, then these are wide open. Worse food. Hungry man cannot sleep. Try sleep on Ekadasi if you're doing nirjal. Very difficult. Yeah. Very difficult to sleep. That's why they say do nirjal and stay up all night and chant. If you do nirjal and don't stay up all night, you might as well stay up. You'll be rolling here and there, you just roll around in bed all night. If you eat something, then you can sleep. So nothing in the belly, no way to close the curtains. If you fill the belly, then you can close the curtains. These are the curtains. If the belly is empty, then the curtains are open. Iti drik sulila virananda kunde swagosh sagosham nimajantam akyapayantam tariyanam samarchanam tariyeshita bhaktarjitattvam. All these words we know. So iti drik, looky here, he's saying. Now we're going to hear guna vishesh. This verse discusses guna vishesh, the attributes of Krishna's qualities, the excellence of Krishna's qualities. First is iti. The word iti means Krishna's supremely enchanting childhood pastimes. And swasya means his own uncommonly divine pastimes. Lilabi means iti drik salila, right? Iti drik salila. His wonderful sporting pastimes, where he drowns all the resonance of Gokul and pulse of ecstasy, right? So we say, Swalila Anandakunde. this Leela, Ananda, Kunde, it's a lake of love. It's a lake of bliss. Kunde, you know, Radhakund, Shamakund. So you know all these words. Iti Drik. Just see, look at his Leela, Swalila, Ananda Kunde. It's a bliss. He's drowning everyone in the ocean of bliss, unlimited bliss, Ananda Kunde. In a pool of ecstasy. So everyone in Gokul is drowning in ecstasy with this pastime. Swagosham. Swagosh. Gosh means the living beings living in Gokul. The Goshes. Just like in Bengal, the people that take care of cows are called the Goshes. Vasudev Gosh, Madhava Gosh, Govinda Gosh. The associates of Lord Chaitanya, the Ghosh brothers. They were great kirtaniers. Madhava Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh, Vasudev Ghosh. They take care of cows. So Krishna's, he's Ghoshteshwari. You ever hear Ghoshteshwari? Ghoshteshwari. What is it? The Bogartik song? Vajabhakata Vatsala Sri Gaurahari Sri Gaurahari Sohi Ghoshta Bihari. You ever hear that song?
Yes.
Mm. You heard it once or twice? Sri Gaurahari Sohi Ghoshta Bihari Nanda Yasho Mata Chitta Hari Nanda Yasho Mata Chitta Hari. So Ghoshteshwari, right? Vajabhakata Vatsala Sri Gaurahari Sri Gaurahari Sohi Ghosht. So that Gaurahari is the same as Ghoshta Bihari. Who is Ghoshta Bihari? Ghoshta Bihari is Kunja Bihari. Sometimes he's Kunja Bihari. Kunja Bihari means he's playing in the kunjas with the gopis. When he's in the fields, he's playing with the cows and with the boys, and he's called Ghoshta. Because Ghoshta means, Ghosh means sounds, and Ghoshta means fields, Ghosh means cows. So this verse is telling us that. Right? Swagosham, Nima Ajantam, Makya Payantam. His own Ghosh. Means all living beings. Gosham includes all the living beings. Ananda Kunde Nimajantam. He immersed everyone. Nimajantam means to immerse. He immersed everyone in that pools of bliss by his pastimes. And that's a fact, that anyone who absorbs themselves in Krishna's pastimes, they will also swim in oceans of nectar. Their heart will become very fragrant with the sweetness of Krishna. Radharani's taking any sadhaka by the hand and just spoon feeding them the mercy. And especially we hear about Krishna's pastimes in the month of Kartik, that they will enter deep within our heart and settle there. So now it says, Sagoshan imajam akya payantam. Sagosham. By these actions, Krishna stimulated the complete love of his own dearmost relatives. Gosha actually means, the word Gosh means loud proclamation of Krishna's glories. Sagosham. And Swa means his own glory or the glory of the gopas and gopis. Is proclaimed by these pastimes, Swagosham. My glories, my Gosham, of my people and Goshala, the house of the cows, or my glories, or the glories of the gopis and gopis. In this mood, Krishna drowned everyone in Ananda Kunde. Iti Drik Svalila Vir Ananda Kunde, Swagosham Imajantam Akya Payantam. Then, Tari Yeshita. So, Gyeshu. Tari Yeshita Gyeshu. Gyeshu means Gyan, means knowledge. Ishita. Ishita means Isha. Isha means controller. See? First word. Tari Yeshita Gyeshu. Right? So, Tadiyanam. The word Tadiya means transcendental. We say in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, there's a description that says Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. Those things which are related to Krishna, Krishna's Dham, Krishna's devotees, Krishna's paraphernalia, it's all Samarchanam. It's some are all Archanam, worshipable. Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So like just like the spiritual master, the shoes of the spiritual master, the sitting place of the spiritual master, the shoes, sitting place, the car, all different things. They're to be worshipped, not to be stepped on or sat on. They're worshipable. They're tadinam. Tadinam means they're related to the transcendence, and they are transcendence. Just like King Prataparudra, he wanted to have darshan of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya initially denied him an audience because he was a pounds and pillings, pounds and shillings, pence and whatever it is. He was a money man, pounds and shilling and pence, whatever it is. And so he says, I'm a sannyasi and you're a man of women. You're a man of women and money, so I will not grant you my darshan or my audience. So then the king was lamenting and trying so many ways to appeal to Lord Chaitanya's associates and get his darshan. So then Lord Chaitanya felt soft-hearted and he sent his chatter. So it was chatter. So when King Prataparudra received that chatter, he worshipped it just like he would worship the Supreme Lord, with great respect and great reverence and great pomp and circumstance. So this is because this thing is samarchanam, tadina samarchanam. It is worshipable because it's connected with the Lord. So tadiyeshi tagyeshu, those who are attached to knowledge of the Lord's mystic opulence, Aishvarya, and who worship him accordingly, he declares, bhaktarji tatvam, only in front of his own pure devotees does he become totally submissive, being conquered by the loving devotion, akya payantam. So tariyeshita yeshu bhaktar jitatvam. He says, those people that have knowledge, says, devotees desirous of knowing his aspect of supreme opulence and majesty, he's naturally conquered only by his premi bhaktis. In other words, there's no way that Vishnu is going to run in fear of someone in Vaikuntha. Everyone's afraid of Vishnu. So they love Krishna. They're in Krishna Prema, Vaikuntha Prema. It's called Aishvarya Prema, and on reverence. And there's no pastime of, you know, anyone chasing Vishnu or Narayan around the Vaikuntha with a stick, threatening to tie them up. So they could not do that. They don't have that intimacy. But Krishna says, I, Swami Bhagavan Krishna, Damodar Krishna, Madhav Krishna, Vrindavan Krishna, I'm not conquered by that. Tadiyeshita geshu bhaktar jitatvam. He said, those that are in knowledge, geshu, tadiyeshita, the tadiyam, the majesty, tadiya, yeshita, tadiyeshita, the isha, the majesty, the opulence, the grandeur, the glory of the Aishwarya Lord, they may know that, but I'm not conquered, but by bhakti, premi bhaktis, jitatvam. I am jita, means jita, you know, ajita. Krishna sometimes called ajita. Jita means conquered, and ajita means not conquered, right? Jita. So this word is jitatvam. I am conquered by them, by devotees. So this phrase means, I willingly become submissive to the control of my servants who are attached to bhakti. I will never submit myself to those fond of gyan. So tariyishita gyeshu bhaktarjitatvam. So there's gyanis and bhaktis, see? Tariyishita gyeshu bhaktir. So the bhaktis, they conquer Krishna, but the gyanis, they don't. They're absorbed in the tadiyanam, the transcendental things, and opulence, tadiyanam. Very wonderful description, Sanatana Goswami. This is from Dig Darshani Tika. And to explain that every day in Kartik you should actually discuss these prayers, but at least we're trying to do it one day. Then at least we reflect deeply on them, so we can do that over balance. Puna prema tastam shatavriti vande. Vande means obeisances, vande gurusri charanavindam. Puna means puna, mushika bhavam, again become a mouse, or puna. Puna means, you know, means again and again, over and over. So puna vande, again offer obeisances, prematas tam shatavriti. He says that shata means 1,000, like we say, or 100. how you say Vishnu Sahasranam, or we have the 108 names of Radharani, Ashtur. You say Ashtur Tara Shata. You ever hear that phrase?
Yeah.
108 Ashtur Tara Shata. You know? AC Bhakti 8 is Divine Grace, AC Bhakti Nanda Swami Sri Prabhupada, Ashtur Tara. Ashto, 8, Ashto Sakis. So, Shata means 100. Puna Prematas Tam Shata Vidivande. Puna, again, of the Ande obeisances hundreds of times to the Prema Bhaktas. So, this is a prayer by a particular Muni, Satyabhata Muni, and he's revealing this in a conversation in Narada Muni and Padma Puran. So he's saying, I, Vande, he's praying, I offer my obeisances hundreds and hundreds of times. To who? Again and again, I offer my obeisances to the Premi Bhaktas, the Braj Bhaktas. Because their bhakti, is so super excellent, they can bring the Supreme Lord under control. Akya Payantam. Bhaktar Jitatvam, only in front of his pure devotees, he's totally submissive. And being conquered by their loving devotion, he has fully displayed this quality for all to see. So the word akya payantam, means to show, to reveal. Akya payantam. So it's, although it's mentioned in the second line, it goes together with the third line. See? Sagoshan imajantam akya payantam. So akya payantam means to show or to reveal. Krishna is fully displaying this quality. What is the quality? That he is conquered by the prema bhaktas, and that he immerses his eternal associates in ponds and lakes of bliss by his personal pastimes, such sweet lila madhurya as this. Let's sing the fourth one. Varam deva moksham na moksha vadim va na chanya vrineham varishadapiya iram deva purnata gopala balam sadame manasya virastam kimanye. In this verse, varam deva. So this prayer, it progresses now. Now we told something about the Leela and heard something about the Parivara Vishesh and the Leela Vishesh and the Rupa Vishesh and Tattva Vishesh. Now the person who's offering a prayer is mentioning his cherished desires. So he's saying that in verse 4 and 5. With the word varam deva. Deva means, O supremely effulgent one. Or deva means, O Lord engaged in super excellent sweet sports. So that all meaning of the word deva. Reishad means from you who can bestow any benediction. Varam navrinhe, I do not seek any boon. Mokshasya avadim. So he says, I don't want moksha, varamdeva. Oh, great Lord is performing wonderful pastimes in Vrindavan. I don't want moksha. Moksha avadim. I don't even want the supreme. First he says, I don't want moksha. To go to swarga moksha. Go to heavenly planets. I don't want suyuja moksha. Then he says, na moksha vadim. Moksha vadim. That's the highest type of liberation, which means to live eternally in Vaikuntha. He says, Anya, I don't want any of these things or any other kind of thing. What do I want? Iram te vapur gopala balam sarame manasya virastam. He's saying, Iram te, your vapu, O Nath, O Lord, you know what I want? I don't want this, but this is what I want. That's why this prayer is a request. He's saying, look, you're going to give if you want to give a benediction, I don't want moksha, any kind of moksha, namoksha, vadimva, and I don't want any other thing either, anya. But what do I want? I do want something. I want something. Vapur Nath. O Nath, O Lord, I want Gopal Balam Vapu. I want to see your form as Gopal, Bala Gopal. When do I want to see it? I want to see it all the time. Suddenly, where in my mind? I want to see it all the time in my mind. So Kimanye, Kiman means what? What's this, what besides this? Like Kim Karomi, what can I do? So other boons are useless. What good are they, you're saying? Kimanye, I have nothing else. So he just wants to see Krishna's divine form as a coward child. Always manifest in my mind, and then I'll be very, very happy. So in this prayer, Satyabhata Muni is demonstrating the longing for inner darshan. We can sing number 5. Hiram te mukam bojam matyanta nilar vitam kundalai shnigda raktaishta gopya bohushkam vitam bimba rakta darane manasya virastam malam lakshala bhai. So Mukha means face, right? Gomukh. Gomukh means the face of a cow. You know, Gangotri, there's Gomukh, where the Ganga comes out of the mountainside. And then there's Ambuja, as you already heard before. Ambuja means lotus. Mukambuja. Hiram te mukambojam avyaktani lair. This is interesting. Narasambhak we say Adyanta Nilaya, is it right? But actually that's wrong. It should be Avyakta. Avyakta. Because Avyakta, Adyanta doesn't make any sense. Because Nila means blue. We're talking about Krishna's hair. And Adyanta has nothing to do with hair. But Avyakta means dark, deep, and dark. Avyakta. So this sound book is correct, Avyakta. Pua Prematas Tantavriti Vande. It should be Tam Shatavriti Shata, because Shata means 100. So he's saying, I don't pray to you for hundreds of any other kinds of boons. This is like time and time again worship, I offer hundreds of obeisances. First, this is very, very nice. It's more of the Rupa Vishesh, the beauty of Krishna's glories. So it says, Hiram te mukam bojam, right? Is that the one we're on? Yeah. So mukha ambujam. So his face is like a lotus, like a lotus flower. Avyakta nilar vritam kundalai shninga raktaishta gopya. So these words, vritam, is explained here that his face is manasi muhur avirashtam. That's what he says in the last thing. Manasi avirashtam. Like we say avirbhav. You ever hear the word avirbhav?
Yeah.
Avirbhav means the manifestation or the appearance. Manas means mind. Manas yavirashtam alam laksha labhai. So laksha, now we have laksha means characteristics. Lakshanam, my characteristics. And labhai means I'm greedy. I'm greedy, like lobe, my calm crowed lobe. Labhai means I'm greedy over and over again to have this form, avirbhav, or avirashtam, manasya virashtam alam laksha labhai. To have this form, beautiful form, appearing in my mind. That's the last line. Now, what does that form look like? Then he explains, Iram te mukam bojam avyakta nilayar. Vibritam kundala. Kuntala. Kuntala means hair. Kuntala. And avyakta nilayar means very dark. Like nila. We say nilochanam. Or nilambara. Radharani wears a blue sari. Nilambara, pitambara. So nila means he's wearing, he has very blue, dark blue hair. Kuntala. A shnigda raktaish. This is a kind of an interesting explanation. Snigda means glossy or shiny. Snigda. But raktaish means red. It means red. Actually means red. So Krishna's hair is dark black, but it's something very special that's being said here by Satyavrata Muni. He's bringing out a very fine point here. Idam te mukam bojam avyakta nilaya ritam kundalai shnigda raktaish te gopya. So now he's saying, why is it red? Because some people have black hair, the black hair looks bluish. And some people have the black hair looks a little reddish, has like a tinge to it. You see in the light, the way the light reflects on it. And in Radharani's case, she has black hair, but her hair looks bluish because she's always thinking of Shyam. She's always thinking of Krishna, and he's bluish black. But Krishna, and it's also explained, this word is there, Vritam kundalai shnigda raktaish te gopya. So Sanatana Goswami is explaining the word gopya. What does gopya mean here? It means that gopi, right? The word gopi. It means that Krishna's lotus face is encircled by curly locks of hair, which is vritam nilar vritam kuntala, glossy, shnigda, shining, raktaish to gopya. But the word gopya means by the gopi. The word gopya means by the gopi indicates that his face is kissed again and again, either by Yashoda or by Radha. Ostensibly or externally, it appears that Satyavrata Muni is talking about Yashoda and Krishna. Yashoda is chasing Krishna, she wants to tie him up, he's crying, he's rubbing his eyes. But there's so many points where he's bringing in the conception that Radharani might also be here and might also be bound, binding Krishna. And then he concludes that at the end when he says Namo Radhikaya Tudiya Priyaya, that he says actually there's so much more pastimes like this with Radha and Krishna of even more intimate nature, but I will not reveal them here. He says I'm not revealing. That's how he closes. So here this word gopya, it can mean that Yashoda smothers him with kisses when he does bad, and then he cries, and then he's afraid, and then she gives him sweets and kisses his face. So it means that, or because muhu, the word muhu's kumbitam bimba rakta darame. Bimba means his lips, and kumbha means kisses. Rakta means his their lips. They're red like a bimba fruit. Says Mama Manasi Avirashtam. He's saying, I just once in my mind, Manasi Avirashtam, Avirbhav, or manifest or appear, Alam Lakshalavai. Just once let this vision appear in my mind. Lakshalavai. Well, Laksha means like a lack, right? We say lack of rupees. Labai means, like loba, means attainments. He said, Alam Laksha Labai, if I get millions of other things, millions of other attainments, they won't mean anything to me. If I can just see in my mind, one time, this darshan of Krishna, with his beautiful hair, tinged red. And they say Krishna's hair is tinged red because of his anurag. Anurag means a very deep form of attachment. Anurag, a very deep form of prema that Krishna experiences in the association of the gopis and especially Radharani. It's rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. So rag, this anurag generates a particular color. It makes one like flushed with a pink color, a reddish. So it says that even if his hair has this color, this raktais, because he only experiences that type of anurag when he's with the gopis. See here in this verse, the word is gopio, right? Vritam kundalai shnigda raktaishta gopya. Gopya. But when you talk about this red color of his hair, that's due to the color of his heart. And Krishna's heart becomes colored, it becomes influenced with that intensity of love, that intensity of feelings when he's with the gopis. Not the elderly gopis. Mother Yashoda is also a gopi. But when he's with the younger gopis, especially Radharani, that brings out, when he's with Mother Yashoda, that brings out sneha, bhakta vatsalya. brings out this vatsali, this affection and sneha, which is there's sneha, man, pranaya, rag, anurag. There's different stages and levels of intensities in the expression of prema, and the feelings it brings, and the rasas and flavors that it brings with it. So with Mother Yashoda, he feels sneha, affection, wonderful flowing, loving affection, and great happiness and great satisfaction. But that doesn't create this give this red tinge to his hair. So this is that's that verse. So we can sing the sixth verse. Namo Deva Damo Dharananta Vishnu Vasira Prabho Dukta Jalavni Magnam Kripa Tristi Vristyati Dinam Batanu Vrihane Shamam Agyam Edyakshi Drishya. So Namo Deva, oh, I bow down, Namo Deva, to that beautiful divine Lord, Damodar, Damodar Ananta, that he's unlimited Lord, full of Shakti. So now, let's see, hey Prabhu, it says here that this verse discusses how to see Krishna face to face. The glories of seeing, how to see Krishna. It says, Grihanesha mam agyam edyakshi drishya. Akshi drishya. So this last line, edyakshi drishya, akshi means aksha, like chakshudana diliye. Right? We say, Om ingyanatim randasya gunanjana shalakaya chakshuranulitam. So akshi means eyes, and drishya means darshan. Please, akshi drishya, give me darshan. Please become visible before me. So, in the previous verse, he's saying, manasya. He says, manasya virastam, right? He's saying, manas avirastam alam lakshalabhai. I don't want anything else, but I want this pastime, I want this vision of your beautiful hair with its red tinge, and you're crying and rubbing your eyes. I want to see this in my mind. Manas avirastam avirbhava. Manifests in my mind. Now he's saying, no, wait a minute. I don't want to see it in my mind. I want to see it directly. In my eyes, my two eyes. I want to see it. I want to, seeing is believing. Right? I want to see it with my eyes. So now we'll hear about this. To attain this, the only way, as he's saying something concerning, are the potency of prayer, feelings of spontaneous love arise, and one especially craves to have the direct darshan of the Lord. Sakshat darshan, or direct vision of the Lord, is possible only through Nam Sankirtan. This is the Parama Sadhana, or supreme method for this attainment. After fixing his beauty in the mind, then one offers sorrowful prayers by the way of Sri Nam Kirtan. The sorrowful prayers means that one chants the holy name in a great mood of separation. As his Prabhupada mentioned, like a child crying for his mother. Oh, mother, where are you? Mother, mother, please come and help me. Please come and save me. I'm suffering. I'm afraid. I'm alone. I'm lost. So crying in a mood of separation. But for what? Just crying? But no, the baby's crying for his mother. He's thinking of his mother. He's seeing his mother. Oh, where's my mother? He's seeing her. So we fix the rupam in the mind first. So in this case, Satyavatamuni, or what's being told in this purport, it's not in saying you fix in your mind the form of Krishna, the form of Radharani, and the form of a pastime. It's called mantra upasana. Upasana means to worship, to sit near. Asana upa. Upasana means to sit near. Well, you sit near someone to worship them. If you're going to worship me, you can't do it from across the street. You generally have to come nearby, put a garland there, put some chandan on the forehead. So upasana means to sit nearby, upa asana. But mantra, it also means to worship the Lord by mantra. So you chant a mantra, which is a lila shlok. It explains a pastime or a vision or a segment of a lila, and then you fix that in your mind and you worship that mantra by Nam Sankirtan. You fix the beauty of the Lord in the mind, then you offer prayers by way of Nam Sankirtan. as in this verse with the word namo, because he actually, this verse is also doing nam sankirtan, because he's saying namo deva, damo, damodar, ananta, vishnu, right? Nam sankirtan means names of the Lord, which describe his characteristics, his guna, and his rupam, his form and his pastimes. So that's nam sankirtan. So he says, hey deva, and we say jagat deva deva jagatpate. In Bhagavad Gita we say deva deva jagatpate. And Krishna is the god of all gods, the father of the universe. So we say namo deva damo dara ananta vishnu, right? When you're singing namo deva damo dara ananta vishnu. So what's going on there? Not just a bunch of words and syllables, you're doing nam sankirtan. So he starts off this verse, Satyavrata Muni, by doing non-sankirtan. For what? What is the desire? He expresses in the last phrase. Grihanesha. Grihan. Grihan isha. Mam agyam. Edyakshi drishya. Agyam means agyan. Right? Gyam. Agyam. Grihanesha. Mam agyam. Edyakshi drishya. Agyam means without knowledge. I don't have any knowledge. I'm ignorant. And Grihan means to accept or uplift. Isha, O Lord, O Controller, please uplift me, please accept me, and please give me direct darshan. Akshi drishya, akshi, drishya, darshan, chakshu darshan, I want to see you. So that's his final point he comes to in this prayer. But he approaches that through the means of Nam Sankirtan. So that's why Sanat Goswami is saying only Sri Nam Sankirtan is the parama sadhana to attain this thing. It's, hey Deva, hey Damodar, hey Ananta, you have unlimited forms, you're bound by love, you're Vishnu, you're Deva, you're divine, beautiful Lord. So prasida, then he says prasida prabho. Prasida prabho. Prasida means what? What does it sound like? Prasad. Prabhu means Prabhu, right? Oh Master, give me some prasad. Show me some mercy. Then dukkha. Namo deva damo. Namo deva damo dar ananta vishnu. Prasida Prabhu. Prasad Prabhu. Prasad. Prasad Prabhu. Give me some prasad. Prabhu. 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 Prasad. Prasida Prabhu. Then dukkha. What does that mean? Unhappiness. Jala abdi magnam. Jala means net, and then so magna means I'm submerged in the jal, like you say jal or pani. Jal means water, so it means I'm submerged in the ocean of suffering. Hey Prabhu, hey Damodar, hey Ananta, hey Vishnu, give me some prasad. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. What prasad do you want? You want to fill your belly? No. I want darshan prasad. I want lila darshan. I want to fill my heart. My belly I've been filling for millions of lifetimes. So much full, I think I'm 10 kilos overweight. So now I have to stop filling my belly. I have to fill my heart. So I want this akshi darshan. But I already prayed in the last verse for internal darshan. Now I want to fill my eyes and my heart. Akshi, aksha, my eyes with your darshan. Kripa drishti vristyati dinam patanu. So kripa, mercy. Drishti, like we have, drishti means rain. Drishti, like darshana means rain. Kripa drishti, drishti vristyati dinam patanu. Patanu means, like we used to joke, and when Russia had one prime minister, his name was Gorbachev. So in Hindi, the word bachao means please save us. So everyone was saying, Gor, bachao, bachao, Gorbachev, Gorbachev, Gor, please save us, Gor, please save us, Gor, please save us. And by chanting the name of that prime minister, the Sankirtan movement was established there. We kind of got liberated, and we were destroying books everywhere and opening temples and restaurants, and everything kind of really expanded over there, right? So that was the Glasnost or something like that, Glasnost. So that was due to this chanting of Gorbachev, Gorbachev, Gorbachev. Because mm-hmm. Everyone was chanting, the whole country was chanting, the name of the Prime Minister was Gorbachev, 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 Al Gore, save us. So there's Batanu means the same thing, Bachao, please save me, Dinam, Dinabandhu, I'm fallen. I'm very fallen. Drishti. Drishti means darshan, or vrishti means drishti. Drishti. Kripa drishti. Let your rain of mercy fall on me. So I am immersed in an ocean of misery. Dukkha jalabdi magnam. And what is that dukkha? The dukkha of repeated birth and death. Jalam. Jalam means net, illusion, deception. Abdi means ocean, which means extreme vast. Magna means submerged. Heavy verse. Ati dinam. Because he says, vristi ati dinam. So it says, kripa drishti vristi ati dinam. Because in Sanskrit they're called sandhis. Sandhis means conjunction of words. When you run two words together, but there's actually separate meanings. So when Acharya is like trying to dissect the whole thing, because it's sandhis are made for poetical purposes and to establish the meter and the flow. Kripa drishti vristi ati dinam vatanu grihanesha mamagya medyakshidrishya. So grihanesha, there's two different words. And vristyati is two different words. Vristi, vristi, which means looking at ati, which means excessively ati. Like we say ati hina or ati sundar. Right? We say bahut sundar. Bahut sundar, you can say ati sundar. Means very, very beautiful. Ati, extremely, extremely so. Ati dinam, very fallen. So although I'm very fallen, I'm asking for a very, very high thing. I'm counting on this Nam Sangirtan. O Deva, O Damodar, O Ananta, O Vishnu, O Prabhu, please give me your prasad, Prasida Prabhu. I'm suffering, dukkha, jalabdi, magnam. I'm submerged, completely submerged in this ocean. Please give me a glance of mercy. Kripa drishti, kripa drishti. Dinam, I'm so fallen. Please, Guhyanesha, enliven me, pick me up, uplift me. Well, that's all the things that are mentioned in this verse. Goodbye, Drishti Vristya. Showing your own mercy, shower me with your nectarine-laden glances. Anugrahana, lifting me up. Akshi Drishyo Edi, become visible for my eyes. So now, Deva, when we say, hey Deva, because he's doing non-sankirtan here. Deva Damodaran Nanta. So Deva, the word Deva also means he is, it means hey, Divya Rupa. Oh, Deva means Divya, right? Deva means Divya. Divya means transcendental or spiritual. Hey Divya Rupam, oh Lord of Divine Beauty. This beauty is the cause for desiring his darshan. In other words, you may be satisfied, or you may be satisfied to see sweet rice in your mind. Or, you know, like Bhaktivinoda Manor Sandesh or Murphy in your mind, you close your eyes and yeah. And by meditating on your mind deeply enough, it may create saliva in your mouth. Saliva will be produced in your mouth. This will definitely happen if it's properly done. So then, no, it's a fact that meditation affects the mind, affects the senses. But then you won't feel satisfied because it's, you know, saliva, not sandesh. It's burfi, not sandesh. So he's saying here that, says, you're divine beauty, you're the Lord of divine beauty. Hey, Deva, oh Deva, oh Dhamma, oh Damodara, oh Ananta, oh Vishnu. So he's saying that you're divine beauty, and I want to see it. That's a cause for, I want to see it. So Damodar, now he says Damodar, the word, when he says Damodar, what does Damodar mean? Damodar intimates that he's glorified by his excellence of Bhaktivatsalya. In other words, Krishna is bound by the love of Mother Yashoda in the Damodar Leela. He's also bound by the love of Radharani in the Damodar Leela too, because she ties him up also in the Madhurya Leela. So he's saying, well, you know, it's your nature, you're a Deva, you're divinely beautiful. You have a divine, beautiful form, and you're a Damodar, you're very kind to your devotees, and you're Ananta, you're unlimited, and you're Vishnu, you're all-pervading, and so you have to give me some mercy, some prasad. You have the prasad, prasida, Prabhu. And what do I want? I want to see you. I want to see God. So, Damodar, the word used here in Damodar, means that I will be qualified only by bhakti to see him with my own eyes. the address when he says Prabhu, Hey Prabhu, Prasida Prabhu, it indicates Hey Achintya Ananta Adbhuta Maha Shakti Yukta. Oh, you who are endowed with inconceivable, limitless, astonishingly grand potency. That's the meaning of Prabhu. Like we usually say Prabhu means master. But he says Prabhu means Achintya Ananta Adbhuta Maha Shakti Yukta. You are joined, Yukta, with all these things, Maha Shakti, grand potency, Adbhuta, out of Bhuta Mandir and Mayapur, astonishing, amazing power, limitless, Ananta, Achintya, inconceivable. So all these things are there. And then he says here, he says, Grihanesha, Grihan Isha Mam Agyam. So why is he saying Grihan Isha? So the word Isha and this word Grihan, Grihan means to lift up, to uplift, to pick me up. And Isha means you're the Parama Swatantra, that you are supremely independent in showing your favor even to what unfit souls. You're dependent on no one. Now he uses the word Vishnu, which means, hey, Sarva Vyapaka, you who are everywhere, all-pervading. So, oh you who are fond of entering Vrindavan's secluded caves and bower cottages, praying like this indicates that it is not difficult for Krishna to come before one's eyes. He does not have to labor hard to come from a distance. In other words, he can come immediately before your eyes because he's everywhere. That's why he's using the word Vishnu. Hey, Deva, Damo, Dharananta. What is he saying? Namo Deva Damo Dharananta Vishnu. Hey Vishnu, I know you're everywhere. You're all pervading. You're in the atom. You're in the caves of Govardhan. You're under the trees of Vrindavan. You're everywhere. So it's not hard for you to give me your mercy, your prasad. So these are why he used these words in his Nam Sankirtan. So you can see when doing Nam Sankirtan, we have to know the conception behind the name. What is our conception? What is our thought? Because if you look at Vishnu and this, you say, Namo Deva Damodara Nanta Vishnu. You think, oh, he's calling Vishnu. Well, Vishnu is, you know, super soul. Paramatma in Vaikuntha. But no, he's thinking, no, Vishnu. Vishnu means all-pervading. Means you're in the caves of Govardhan. You're in the caves of Govardhan having pastimes. You're in the confidential Nikunjas at Sevakunj and Nidiban and Radhakun having loving pastimes with your gopis. That's the Vishnu I'm talking about. When I say, hey Vishnu, when I say, hey Ananta, you know, when I say, hey Ananta, that means Ananta Shesha, means Sheshanaga, Sankarshan, or Ananta. No, it means that Lord who expresses unlimited forms of love with his devotees. He can interact and express sweetness with unlimited numbers of devotees. So, hey Ananta means that he's aparichana, existent without interval and separation. And then Hey Dharma, Dhammadhar means he's under control of his own Parama Vatsali Vishesh. So we're talking about Visheshas, right? The Rupa Vishesh, Leela Vishesh, Parivara Vishesh, Tattva Vishesh. So this Shesh is called Parama Bhakta Vatsali Vishesh. Vishesh means the excellence, the attribute, or the wonderfulness. So Krishna, one of the wonderful, excellent things about God is he's controlled by his devotees. This is inconceivable. In a Christian tradition or any other theology, God is a controller. He's the creator and the controller and destroyer. He's G-O-D, right? God is God. God is God. Generator, operator, and destroyer. Right? G-O-D. He generates everything, he operates and maintains everything, and he destroys everything. G-O-D. The generator, the operator, the destroyer. Text 7. Kuveratmajo bada murde vyadvad Twaya mochito bhakti bhajo krito cha Tata prema bhaktim sakame prayacha Namok shigra home sti damodareha. So in this verse, we're talking about Kuvera. Everyone knows who Kuvera is. Kubera Atmajo. Like we say, so Anuja means born from, but Atmajo means born from. Atmajo, born from Kubera. So who is born from Kubera? Kubera Atmajo. Because nowhere in this verse do you see any names of these persons, right? Are we here that, who are those two persons? Mani Griva, Nalaguvara, Nalaguvara Mani Griva. But where is that? He said, where is that in this prayer? You see anywhere? Right, they're the two sons of Kubera. So that's implied here in this word, in this verse. Kubera Atmajo. He mercifully liberated the two sons. It says, Kubera Atmajo Bhada Murtyavi Yadvat. So, this verse describes Prema Vishesh. And this also is a prayer to attain Prema Bhakti. So he's been coming to this. First, earlier on he said, I don't want liberation, amokshena, mokshavinimba. I don't want liberation, anye, sadame, only my mind, sadame, manas. Only my mind, no other thing I want. In my mind, I want to see your beautiful form and your pastimes. And then he's saying, it describes more of that beauty. And he says, not only in my mind do I want to see, but I want to see directly, akshidrishya. Right? Now he's saying in this verse, it is actually directly a prayer that I want your prema. I just want your attain prema bhakti. The attributes of pure ecstatic love, prema vishesh. And by those attributes, one becomes infused with supreme longing and praise for direct audience with the Lord, saksha darshan. See, one of the features of prema is called purvarag. Purvarag is prema and separation, love and separation. Purva means before. Attachment before. Raga means attachment or love. Purva means before. Purva janam, previous birth. So purva means that. So when one is approaching Krishna with love, then he feels separation, naturally. Where are you? Where are you? Hey Krishna, Vajadeva Kejalite, Hey Nanda Sunakutaha, Shivavarana Kapa Padapatale Kalindi Vanya Kutaha. Hey Krishna, where are you? Are you on the banks of the Kalindi? Are you wandering the caves of Govardhan? Hey Krishna, where are you? So Goswami's taught this mode of separation, it's called Purvarag. They're attached, but they're separated. They're attached to Krishna, they want to see Krishna, they want to love Krishna, they want to serve Krishna, but they're not. They're in separation. He's not visible before them because he has not manifested himself yet in the sakshat way. So this verse is like that. This prema bhakti is the only means for attaining Krishna's darshan. Kuvayat madhu bhada murtiye vyodvat. So what does this mean? Bhada murti, right? You know these words. Kuvayat atmajo. Atma means self or body, and jo means janma. Kuvera means the treasure of demigods. Kuvera Atmajo, born of Kuvera, the sons of Kuvera. Bada means like Nitya Bada or Nitya Bada Jiva, means bound, conditioned. How are they conditioned? In a murti. Murti. What does murti mean? Form. What kind of form? A vat. A yad vat. You know what a vat is? Nityananda vat. Bandiravat. In the, you ever go on Vrindavan, there's Bandiravat. There's Vat means banyan tree. Vamshivat, right? Vamshivat. Vat means banyan tree. And specifically they say there were Yamala Arjuna trees or something. Maybe it's a species, but it doesn't say that in the verse. It says Yadvat. Kuveratmajo bada murtyavi Yadvat. So the two sons of Kuvera were bound in a murti of trees, in a tree murti. They were locked up in the trees, right? Twaya mochito bhakti bhajo kritocha. Twaya means tvam. You, mochi, mochito means mukti. Moksha. We said moksha, mochito. You gave them liberation, but not only mochito, but bhakti bhajo. You gave them bhakti. Tata prema bhaktim. Such is the glories of your prema bhakti. That's just a rough translation. So if we look here, so this seventh verse, the prayer is made purely for attaining prema bhakti. Kuvera atmajo bada murti aviyadvat. So Krishna's murti was bound to the grinding mortar, and he went between these trees. By dragging the mortar between the two trees, Bhagavan demonstrated the supreme fortune that comes in the form of saksha and darshan, personally touching his form and so forth. Even though he himself was tied up, he now describes how he liberated Nalakuvera and Manigriva. The word mochita indicates that they were liberated, not just from the curse of the of Narada, but from samsara, and they were awarded, and they were not awarded kevalam, impersonal liberation, but they were gifted prema bhakti. That's what it says here. Traya mochito bhakti. So you gave them liberation, but not the usual kind of liberation, merging into your body or whatever. His form is bound up that way, but he gifted them with prema bhakti. He didn't give them the usual liberation. So you merging into the form, I mean to the effulgence. Mm-hmm. Bhakti bhajo krita ocha. Krita means work or activity, so you act in such a way. Those who cannot give up the shelter of devotion any way, shape or form are called bhakti bhajam. So Krishna personally transformed them in this way, by seeing him. Not only were they liberated, but they were awarded with prema bhakti. So Krishna, he addressed these two boys. He said, the most desired thing you have prayed for is parama bhav. You have both developed this prema from me. Never again will you experience the misery of samsara, even while living here. And it says, Tormachin Bhakti Bhajra Kritocha. Na mokshe grahome sti damodareha. So swakam, he says, prema bhaktim swakam. Swakam, right? Means my desire, kam. Kam means desire, swa means my own. I only want that prema bhakti. I don't want anything else. It is just like Krishna is saying, oh hey, why are you so enthusiastic for prema bhakti? Just accept liberation like the two sons of Kubera. And then I say, neti neti, no thank you. Other than this, iha, this goal named prema bhakti, namokshe grahome sti asti damodaraya. I have no eagerness for any other type of liberation, O Damodara. So there's like a dialogue between Satyabrata Muni is offering a prayer and Krishna. Krishna's saying, well look, just take liberation. Of course he gave them more than that, he gave them bhakti bhajan. He says, look, I want your own prema bhakti swakam, me prayacha. Like we say, when we often make offerings, we say, patram pushram phalam patayam, yome bhakti prayachati. Yome bhakti prayachati. Prayachati means offered. That's anything is offered to me with love and devotion, right? Prayachati. So he's saying, I want you to give me this pure devotion. Namokshe. I don't want any liberation. I don't want this. Why do you want to stick me with this? Graho me. Na mokshe grahome sti damodareya. Graho means I have no eagerness, no enthusiasm for this liberation or any other type of liberation. And he wants specifically prema bhakti here in Vrindavan. One prays for perpetual residence in Vrindavan because only there does Bhagavan desire to especially manifest as Vrindavan Bihari. Let's sing the last verse. Namaste su damne spura dipti damne twari odara yata vishvasya damne namo radikaya twariya priyaya namo nantalilaya devaya tuvyam. Namaste, right? To damne. You know, damne means damodar. I offer my obeisances to your robe. Spurti means to manifest, to have a vision. Spurti means splendorous. Dipti damne, you're effulgent. Dipti, like deepam. Deepam, like deep, right? Deepam, deep means, deep Latin. Ghee lamp is a deepam. Namaste stu. Dhamme namo stu. I bow to the Mahapash, that magnificent great rope, Damo. Pash means rope. It binds your belly. What is this grand rope like? Sparantya dipti dhamme. So he's offering obeisances to Krishna's rope. This is the last verse. He says, what kind of rope is that? It's a spurad, dipti dhamne. Dham means like Vrindavan Dham. It means the place, the abode. It's the abode of all-pervading Brahman effulgence. That's pretty interesting. It's a shelter of a splendorous effulgence. Dipti. Dipti means light. Deepam. Like deepam, deepam, right? Deepavali. Deepavali is Amavasya. It's a dark moon night and everybody offers light so Ram can see his way back into Ayodhya. So they all put ghee lamps in the sky and hang lamps. Called Deepavali. So deepam means light. Sparantya dipti damne. That rope which is around your belly, that is a shelter of splendorous effulgence. Indeed, it represents the all-pervading Brahman effulgence. In other words, Krishna, what surrounds Krishna's form is effulgence, the Brahman Tejas, right? Brahman Jyoti. So the rope represents that. After that, Tudiya Udaraya Namaste. I bow to your Udaraya, belly. Because while your belly is bound with ropes, you especially manifest the beauty and other qualities of your belly, as well as the glorious characteristics of Vatsalya Lila. What is your belly like? What is Krishna's belly like? Tvadiyo darayata Vishvasya damne. What does Vishva mean? Vishrub Darsha means universe, world. So Vishva damne, he says, your udara, Tvadiyodara, that means like Damodara, Udara, means your waist is magnificent, it is manifesting like the whole universe. Your belly is a Vishva, Vishvadamne, it is the support for the whole universe. How is that so? Because from your navel grew a lotus flower, from your belly, Vishva, Vishvasyadamne. So your udara became a Vishwasya Dhamne. Your udara, your belly, became the abode or the shelter or the source of the whole universe. Because a lotus flower grew from the belly of Mahavishnu, right? And Brahma came there and created all the universe and all the planets, so many things. It's a very interesting discussion. Sanatan Goswami there. Very deep knowledge, unlimited knowledge of Sanskrit and unlimited imagination and a knowledge of tattva too, so they can put everything together in a very sweet and detailed way. There's a whole book of commentaries just on these few shlokas. This is another indication, therefore, that in such a pastime of binding him by the waist, Mother Yashoda bound up the whole universe. Indeed, she brought the entire creation under her control. It is never possible to bind the all-pervading, limitlessly potent Lord, who is the Isha, Supreme Controller, but he willingly accepts binding as an attribute of a super-excellent affection for his devotees. In other words, Bhakta Vatsalya Vishesh, that super-excellence of loving affection. By acceptance of binding, we are informed that such pastimes are imperceptible to all the logic and reasoning available within the material universes. Why does Satyavrata Muni offer obeisances to the rope and then the belly? Because the rope is situated on his belly and also indicates the ascending superiority and the significance of different things. First, respects are offered to the rope and then his belly. So the rope is significant because that's like, you know, maybe the Brahman Tejas or represents the Brahman effulgence, but his belly is more significant. It represents his personal form, plus it represents the shelter of all existence, the shelter of the Brahman also. Then the famous line, Namo Radhikayai Turiya Priyayai Namo Nantalilaya Devaya Tubhyam. Well, wait a minute, what's this all about? This whole prayer is about Yashoda and Krishna, Damodar. And what's Radharani have to do with it? How she got inside here? Why are obeisances offered unto Radhika? Muni does this to show that the mercy of his beloved enables one to fully attain the desired objective. So even if you want to see Krishna as Damodar chased by his mother, where will you get that prasida prabhu? Where will you get that prasad? Where will you get that mercy? You get that mercy from Krunamayi. Krunamayi is Radharani. Kripamayi. She's made of mercy. She's made of compassion. So he's saying, well, I want to see Krishna always in my mind, this pastime. I want to have direct darshan. I want to see Krishna with my eyes. Sakshat darshan. I don't want anything. I don't want any liberation. I don't want any Brahman effulgence. I don't want any boons or benedictions. I just want Braja Prema. And how will I get all those things? Oh, I better go to Radharani's side. I better go to the Krunamayi, the compassionate side of Krishna. I better submit my petition there to fulfill my desire for Prema Bhakti. Even if I have desire for Vatsalya Prema, you know, this Vatsalya Prema, this scene just showed up with Krishna, this is Vatsalya, parental love. Still, I must get some mercy to attain it. So Radharani will give that mercy. That's why Radharani came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radharani came with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to distribute her mercy. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to distribute all the three higher rasas. Sakya rasa, Vatsalya rasa, Madhurya rasa. So here's a Vatsalya Bhakta who's petitioning to Radharani, because she's the merciful form of Krishna. Please, I want this Vatsalya mood. Will you please bestow your mercy upon me? So he offers obeisances to her too. Offers obeisances to the rope, and to the belly of Krishna, and to his pastimes. Now he's saying, Namo Radhikaya. Oh, Radhika. Why Radhika? Because Radha, the word Radha, means the Radhanam. It means worship. When we say Radhika, means one who is expert. When you add the suffix ka, means one who is very expert, extremely expert in worshipping. So this is Radhika. So he says, Namo Radhikaya. Because if you show me your mercy, then I'll be able to attain my desired objective. By offering obeisances to Radhika, it is implied that obeisances are also being offered to all the gopis. The word Radhika here indicates one who is always engaged in Bhagavan's Aradhanam, worship, arranging for his pleasure. Then he says, Namo Radhikaya Twadiya Priyaya. So you see in this shloka, how many times is the word Twadiya there? Tadiya or Twadiya? It's like three different verses. You have Twadiya or Tadiya. Right? And Twadiya, Tadiya, Tadiya Shita Geshu, and at least two times, maybe more. I think another time too. So this means things that are transcendental or are related to transcendental things. So Tadiya Priyaya, Priya means Radharani. Obeisances unto your beloved. Radharani, the word Priya, what does Priya mean? Dear. So he says, Namo Radhikaya, Namo, Namaste. Namaste Prabhu, Namaste. Om Shanti, Namaste, Om Namaste. So Namo Radhikaya, I offer my obeisances to Radharani. Namo Radhikaya, because she's always engaged in Radhanam, worship. And then, Twadiya Priyaya. Twadiya, or Tadiyanam, Twadiya, of all those transcendental things, Tadiyanam Samarchanam, of all those different transcendental associates and servants you have, Namo Radhikaya, Twadiyaya, Priyaya. She is the most dear. She is the Priya. She's the dearest of all those things. She, Radharani, is the eternally dearmost beloved, Nitya Priya. And the word Twadiya indicates is not only Radharani dear to you, but to all your other devotees as well. Additionally, this statement implies that you are also her Nitya Priya. She is your Priya and you're her Priya. So in this phrase, the Radharani's love for Krishna, Prema Vishesh, is indicated. Because why? How is it indicated? Because we're using the word Priya. So Radhika Priya, Radha Priya, Radhika Priya. Because her love is so dear and so sweet that Krishna appreciates her more than anyone. So Priyaya Namaha means obeisances unto Radhika. Radhika's beloved, Krishna, or my obeisances unto you, Radhika. So the author, Satyavrata Muni, concludes his prayer by desiring to describe the super excellence of Rasa-lila and other pastimes of Krishna with Radhika. But since these are the topmost confidential topics, they are not mentioned directly. That's why he says, Namo Radhikaya Tadiya Priyaya Namo Ananta Lila Devayat. So he says, Namo is all glories to Radhika, all glories to your belly, all glories to your rope, you know, your Vatsalya Bhav, and your power and your tejas, your rope and your belly, which is bound by Vatsalya Bhav. Then he says, oh, all glories to Radharani, off Namo Radhikaya. And then he says, and now we're talking about Radharani. Now there's a whole other category of pastimes beyond Vatsalya Bhav. It's called Madhurya Bhav. And Radhika is the leader of those pastimes. Namo Nanta Vilaya. Namo means obeisances. Nanta means Ananta. Ananta means unlimited, no end. Lila means pastimes. Namo Nanta Vilaya Deva Yatubhyam. So all glories to your unlimited pastimes. So that's why Sanatana Goswami says he's hinting here. He's introducing Radharani at the end of the prayer, saying besides Vatsalya Bhava and pastimes of Mother Yashoda, there's another personality known as Radhika. And they have a whole other category of pastimes, Madhurya Lila. And they're Ananta Lila. So I'll leave it at that. I'll let you imagine the rest of it. But I won't say anything more. So since these are the topmost confidential topics, Rasa Lila, they're not mentioned directly. This is applying the logic of Madhurena Samapayat, that all undertakings should be completed sweetly, or ended on a sweet note. Everything should be ended on a sweet note. Therefore, such confidential pastimes are referred to, because Krishna's Madhurya Lila is the sweetest. They're only indicated here by a mere hint, and are offered obeisances from a distance with the words, Namo Ananta Lilaya. It's really fantastic. The word Devaya means that obeisances are offered under Bhagavan, who is supernatural, divine, transcendental, divinely supreme. And all the lilas he performs are also transcendental. Therefore, Ananta Lilaya Tubhyam Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are thus performing limitless pastimes. When he uses the word Ananta Lila, it includes all the pastimes associated with the realm of Gokula Vrindavan. What is this Ananta Lila? More is discussed here. When we say Namo Ananta Lilaya, it's understood to mean obeisances under the Ananta Lila Bhagavan Krishna, or he whose pastimes are limitless. But Sanatana Goswami looks towards the esoteric intention of Satyavrata Muni. And he says, actually, this is obeisances under Sri Rasa Lila. That is the most unlimited Lila. Where Krishna, that's why it's called Rasa Lila, because Krishna displays all the rasas there. With the gopis, all the different feelings of parental affection, protection, separation, all the different rasas and tastes are experienced there in a Rasa Lila. So that's why it's the Ananta, unlimited Lila, unlimited pastime. And Ananta means it has no end. Obeisances under Sri Rasa Lila is perpetual, inexhaustible, countless. And the expression of the word Lilaya, it comes from the word Lila. What does the word Lila mean? Lila comes from the word Lingata, or Lingana, Alingana. So Lilaya, so Lingana means, so it says Lila, the derivation of Lila is Li plus La. The meaning of the word Li means to embrace, and the meaning of La means to accept. So once I explained the meaning of Prabhupada's, on one Vyasa Puja, I explained the meaning of Prabhupada's name, Srila. Srila Prabhupada. You know, in terms of this, Sri means the Srimati Radharani, and Li means to embrace, and La means to accept. And Gurudeva has accepted the embrace of Radharani, and he brings everyone to the embrace of Radharani, which means he engages them in the service of Radha Krishna and Vrindavan. There's a very long discussion just as well. Why do we say Srila Prabhupada? instead of Sri Prabhupada or Srimad, we say Srila. I don't remember when that was, somewhere in Vrindavan some years ago. So Li means to embrace, and La means to accept. Sri, obeisances under Sri Ras Lila is perpetual, inexhaustible, countless. Therefore, the word Lila indicates sportive pastimes in which Krishna accepts the embraces of the gopis. So he says, Ananta Lilaya. So it's not in Goswami, he says, Namo Radhikaya Tudiya Priyaya Namo Ananta Lilaya Dev. So as he says, Namo Radhikaya, now you're talking about Damodar. Now you're not talking about Damodar, you're talking about Radha-Damodar. When you're talking about Radha-Damodar, you're going to talk about another pastime. That pastime is Ananta Lila. Ananta Lilaya. And Lila means to embrace. So those unlimited pastimes where Damodar accepts the, you know, is encircled by the arms of the gopis, rather than being encircled by the ropes of Yashoda, he's encircled by the arms of the gopis. And he's bound with their Madhurya Prem, instead of bound with the ropes of Vatsalya Prem and Mother Yashoda. That's being indicated here in this line. Namo Radhikaya Tudiya Priyaya Namo Nata Lilaya Devaya Tubhyam. So this is so much Sanat Goswami is revealing all these things. Lila, sportive pastimes which Krishna accepts the embrace of the gopis. Obeisances are being offered unto Ras Lila and other associated pastimes. Because when we say Ananta Lila, it means all the unlimited pastimes of Vrindavan. So that includes Rasa Lila, because that's the topmost expression of prema, topmost expression of bhava and love. So he says, I offer obeisance to that, which means he's actually saying, in a hidden way, he's saying, offering obeisance is under Rasa Lila. So Srila Goswami Pad has revealed in the final shloka of Dhammadharastika, he shows that Krishna's pastimes headed by Rasa Lila are the topmost of all. This most confidential topic, however, is only referred to by a mere hint. Namo Nata Lilaya. Because Rasa Lila is the most confidential pastime of the Lord, Satyabrata Muni mentioned it only with the briefest clue or the tiniest glimpse. By doing so, he made it known that it is always inappropriate to casually hear and chant about Rasa Lila here and there, whenever and wherever. Not only that, but if an unqualified person deceives himself and tends to contemplate or perform Rasa Lila, he'll certainly become degraded. I want to discuss something. Verse 6 again. Because in verse 5, he says like this. Manasya virastam. Manasya virastam alam lakshilabhai. That our lakshya labhai lacks and lacks and lacks, hundreds and thousands of desirable things I don't want. Lobh, puja, pratishtha, worship, honor, distinction, greedy things, boons and benedictions, they're useless. I don't want them. But in my mind, manasi avirashtam, avirbhav, manifested or appearing in my mind, I want to see this beautiful form of yours, Damodar, with your bouncing, your curly black locks bouncing off your shoulders, tinged with a red color, and your lips being kissed by the gopis or Mother Yashoda, whomever, and your beautiful lotus-like face. I want to see that. Then I want to see it in my mind. Always remember that and see that in my mind's eye. Then number 6, he says, well, anyway, that's nice, but now I'm thinking that I can attain more than that. I want something more than that, more satisfying, more fulfilling. I want to have sakshat darshan, direct, eye to eye, nose to nose, face to face. And the way to get that is sankirtan, nam sankirtan, right? Nam sankirtan gives all perfection. Nama Krishna's Chaitanya, Nama Chintamani Krishna's, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Vasa Vigraha, Purna Shudo Nitya Mukta Vinatana Manamano. This holy name of Krishna is Chintamani. It fulfills all desires. So whatever desire I have can be fulfilled by chanting the holy name. Nama Chintamani Krishna's. So Chintamani Nam, Krishna's Nam. Prem Nam. It's called Mukhya Nam. Mukhya Nam means primary name. So the names of Krishna, Damodar, Madhav, Shamsundar, Govinda, Gopinath, Giridhari, Hari, these are Premnam, Mukhinam. They will give, fulfill your desire to the topmost level. So he says, I'm resorting to Sankirtan. First, in the sixth verse I was writing, I was thinking, yes, it would be, I'd be in bliss to see Krishna in my mind. No, wait a minute. I want to see him face to face. I really want to. It's not enough to see him in my mind. So many people have seen him in the mind, but I want to see him face to face. Oh, hey, then he says, Namo Deva Damodara Ananta Vishnu. So he starts, he performs Nam Sankirtan. So this verse is explaining how he's saying that you can see. So there's a dialogue in the back here. There's a discussion about what is the difference between seeing Krishna in the mind and seeing Krishna eye to eye. So the Gyanis are the like Gyan Bhaktas, like four Kumaras are like that, Gyan Bhaktas, Gyani Bhaktas. And in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Gopa Kumar was chanting his Gopal mantra and moving throughout the universe, he was assuming different positions and visiting different dimensions and seeing different attainments from Earth to Jagannath Puri to heavenly planets. But he always was burning with the desire because he was chanting 10-syllable Gopal mantra. Kling Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha. So that's a 10-syllable Kling Gopijana Vallabhaya Swaha. That's 10 silver. Then there's an 18 silver Gopal mantra which we chant, which is given at the time of Diksha. So he was chanting his 10 silver mantra, and he had a desire to see Gopijana Vallabha, the beloved of the Gopis, Gopinath. He wanted to see. And he was going here and there and here and there, always wanted to see. So then he went to Tapaloka. There's 14 planetary systems and the third planetary is upper planetary systems. You have Swargaloka, which is the lowest, Swargaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, different lokas. So Tapaloka, what is it? What's Tapaloka? Tapaloka is tapasya. Tapasya means austerity. So that's where all the yogis live, all the gyanis and yogis. So when he went there, he met the great sage Pipalayana. Pipalayana also has teachings in Bhagavatam and also in 11th canto, teachings of Navayogendras. Pipalayana is the son of Rishabhadev. He said, why do you want to go to leave Tapaloka? Why are you wandering all around the place, aspiring for vision of the Parameshwar, Sri Krishna? When you can't see him by any of the senses, including the eyes, is what the yogis say up there. Your mind, if you concentrate your mind in deep meditation, then naturally you see the Lord everywhere, within and without. And he said that the Lord is in your heart as Paramatma. He's Vishuddha Sattva. His form is Satchidananda. You can't grasp that with your external senses. The attainment of Bhagavad Darshan in the heart is called Dhyan. If you attain that, then is that not vision by the eyes? There's no need to leave this Tapaloka. Just do your smart, just do your meditation. When one beholds Hari directly with the eyes, that vision is also perfectly accomplished by the mind. Because when one sees Bhagavan, then no other thoughts can arise within the mind. Upon beholding the darshan of the Bhagavan Murti within a deeply absorbed meditative mind, that is verily perceived as a vision of the eyes. Let's show the mind's eye. He's giving all these different arguments. Upon the arising of pleasure within the mind, all the senses naturally become pleased. The functions of all the senses, including the tongue, ears, eyes, and so forth, are accomplished through the means of the mind. That is, the senses cannot grasp their objects such as taste, form, and sound without the mind accepting them with its perception. Because of the absence of the mind's functions, the jivatma cannot perceive those sense objects if there's some mental derangement. And if you cut off, like you cut the nerve to your mind, you're putting salt on your tongue, you don't taste it. But the senses are touching the objects, but the connection of the mind is not there. Therefore, Bhagavan is manifest within a purified mind. Vishuddha Chitta Vritti Vishesh. That is actual darshan. This is the Jnani's viewpoint. It says, however, then this is what Gopa Kumara says, well, what about this? What about Prahlad and Dhruva? You know, they saw the Lord directly, eye to eye. Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. And then he says to him, he says, when the Lord sometimes appears before the eyes of a devotee, that's due to the Lord's attribute of extraordinary affection, bhakti vatsalya. Then that vision is actually observed through the mind's eyes. This is what the people line is saying. No, he didn't. They Dhruva and Prahlad, he appeared before them. Okay, we're saying in Tapaloka, you fix your mind in Paramatma, and you fix your mind there, and you'll see Paramatma. And that's seeing him. Your mind's eye. And then Gopa Kumara said, well, wait a minute, they saw him outside, Dhruva and Prahlad. He said, no, that's not outside, that's like the same as in the mind. That vision is that, he said, this darshan takes place by the faculty of Gyan Drishti, the eyes of knowledge within the functioning of the mind, and not by mere physical eyesight. Is it because the external senses are fully under the sway of temporary things, they're incapable of grasping transcendental things? How can you see transcendence with material eyes? How can you hear transcendence with material senses? Upon receiving darshan of the Lord within one's mind, it creates a state of shuddha sattva. Then the devotee only thinks proudly that this is a vision seen with the eyes, but actually is not perceived with the physical eyes. Sometimes it is said Bhagavan occasionally becomes visible to the external eyes of a devotee out of his potency of mercy. Even upon this form of darshan, the bliss created thereof is manifested only in the heart, since the heart or mind is the seat of arising of Ananda. Furthermore, therefore, Bhagavad darshan, vision of the Lord, is only in the mind. The mind is the single most creative receptacle capable of realizing the bliss of his vision. Therefore, there's no need to endeavor to see him with one's eye. There's a pastime of Brahma. Brahma, at the beginning of creation, he was meditating, and in samadhi, he had darshan of Krishna. So when he saw the Lord in his samadhi, he bowed down, and then Krishna took him by the hand and said, it says like in the Bhagavatam, second canto, Krishna shook hands with Brahma. Prabhupada says that Krishna shook hands. How do you do, Brahma? I shook hands with him. He said, I'm very pleased with your penance and austerity. Now you may request a boon. So after praying for a boon, he wanted a boon to know what he's supposed to do, to create. So after praying for a boon, then the Lord spoke the Chaturshloki, the four seed verses of the Bhagavatam. This pastime illustrates how in a state of samadhi one perceives Bhagavad darshan and has an experience that is complete with the supremely merciful blessings of seeing the Lord, obtaining boons, conversing with him, being touched by him, and so forth. In other words, this is what Gopa Kumara wants. He wants to see the Lord, touch the Lord, feel the Lord, everything. And the jnanis and tapaloka, they said, look, you just sit there, om, shanti, shanti, om, om. You just meditate on the Lord in the heart, and not seeing him in the mind, and what is this? And then, this is a purport. It's given that actually even Brahma, in his meditation, his samadhi became such that he had darshan. And then he had this experience. The Lord touched his hand, shook his hand, and spoke to him, and asked him, what do you want? Do you want a boon? When you have darshan and paramatma, you can't ask for boons. You just see. You can't ask, can you give me this? Can you give me that? You know, can you shake my hand? Can you touch me? No, it doesn't. This entire philosophical presentation of antar darshan, being superior, direct vision of the Lord with the physical eyes, is true only for Jnani Bhaktas. Sanatana Goswami, quoting Brihad Bhagavatamrita in his commentary on this verse number 6 of this Dhammadharastikam, Namo Deva Damodaram Nanta Vishnu Prasida Prabhu Duka Jala Divagan Pritam Justi Vistyati Dina Badanu Pihani Shamam Agam Edyakshi Edyakshi Drishya. He proves that the best type of the Lord's darshan is that which is perceived directly with the senses, as in the case of his pure devotees. Now, he explains the argument and the experience. What is the result of seeing Krishna with the eyes? Three things. Your ignorance is destroyed, and the ignorance covering the soul is destroyed. Your bhava, or love for Krishna, increases. And you become overwhelmed with bliss and exhibit sattvic changes, like shivering, hair standing in, crying, etc. So first, Sanatana Goswami was establishing that on Tapaloka, the jnani bhaktis, those that are jnanis, like we say, four kinds of people approach Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvida, Bhajante Imam, Jana Sukritin Arjuna. Arto Artati Jigyasur, Gyanicha Paradarshava. One of those categories is the jnani. He's approaching Krishna with knowledge. He wants the knowledge. But one of them really wants to know Krishna and love Krishna. That's the topmost one. So the jnanis, they go to Tapaloka. They're not even in the spiritual world. They're on this side of this side of Viraja. So he established the significance of darshan within one's mind. Now he refutes that by explaining about, because that was in Tapaloka. So after Gopakumara was in Tapaloka, he went to Vaikuntha Loka. He crossed the Viraja River, and he left the jnanis behind, and he left the Suja Muktis behind, and he went to Vaikuntha, the place of no anxiety. And there he met the Vaikuntha Vasis. And there he established a superiority and supreme effectiveness, a direct darshan with the eyes. And Sanatana Goswami explains in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the direct vision of the Lord with one's very eyes is the highest grace attained by successive waves of his merciful benedictions. Kardama Muni, Dhruva, and many other devotees received direct darshan of Bhagavan, and by so attained his great mercy. These stories illustrate the supreme glories of seeing him with the eyes. Actually, sometimes in the lives of a sadhaka, one who is not siddha, he's not attained perfection, but he's practicing bhakti yoga and trying to attain prema or love of God, he still has anarthas or material desires, but Krishna will give sakshat darshan for the purpose, as I said, destroying the ignorance and increasing that attachment of that person. He has some attachment, but he still has some ignorance. So it happened in the case of Bilvamangala Thakur, who wrote Krishna Karanamrita. And it's described that the Lord appeared to him once or even twice, even as a sadhaka. It's not that he hasn't become a bhava bhakta or a prema bhakta, then maybe you'll see. It's up to the Lord's causeless mercy, when and how, if he wants to, how much. Of course, from our position, most of us don't even have a desire to see Krishna. Oh, Krishna, he's in a temple, and I'm here, he's there, I'm here, I'm fine. Let him do his thing, I'm doing my thing. And no one has like a burning desire to see Krishna or have darshan of Krishna. Not like Gopakumara. I must see my Lord, I must see my Lord, that beautiful Lord, I must see him. From this type of direct vision comes extremely profound bliss that surpasses all other forms of darshan, such as meditation. In other words, people like Rishi and Tapaloka was arguing for the virtue of antar darshan, or antar darshan, through the means of dhyana or samadhi. And it fills the mind with a great thrill of happiness and satisfies all the senses, like that, because the senses are connected to the mind. Prasanatma, that the Atma becomes prasan by Buddha, by Brahma Buddha, by liberation. So the Atma includes the mind, the senses, the body, everything. It becomes joyful. But Sanatana Goswami is saying, that joy is like a sukha bindu. Like a drop of happiness compared to an Amrit Sindhu, an ocean of nectar. Amrit Sindhu, Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu. Rasamrita Sindhu is an ocean of nectar in this ocean. He says the profound bliss, this vision of seeing directly Krishna in person through the eyes, is the final reward of practicing the ninefold process of devotion headed by Shravanam. Sarvesham saranam tat sakshat sakshat karohi satkaram tadeva vamulata mayam nashit premapi vardate. The result of seeing Krishna. The direct vision of Krishna is the topmost fruit of all sadhana practice. Upon attaining this, the ignorance of Maya within the soul is destroyed down to the root, while simultaneously the illumination of prema increases more and more. Snan Goswami explains, he cites an example from the scriptures to explain the extreme joy and unlimited bliss that happens when one actually sees Krishna eye to eye. Prahlad Maharaj, as well as other devotees, although constantly seeing the Lord within their hearts, see now, we have different devotees that have achieved perfection. Who achieved perfection by hearing? By hearing, Shravana Maharaj Pariksit heard Bhagavatam from Shukadeva Goswami, attained perfection. Who attained perfection by chanting? No, by kirtan. Yes, there's a list of nine, and different personalities are given. Way before Haridas. Haridas is only 500 years ago. These are all Puranic personalities, old Puranic personalities. So by hearing, Pariksit Maharaj. By chanting, Shukadeva Goswami. Now, who attained perfection by dhyan, by meditation? So it's Vishnu, we say, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So Vishnu Smaranam means remembering, meditating, dhyan, samadhi. That's Prahlad Maharaj. He's always meditating on Vishnu all the time. Chanting was there and preaching, but mostly he's known for this. This is his perfection. He's a Shanta Bhakta. He is not in Dasya Ras like Hanuman. He's not in Sakya Ras like Arjuna, Pandavas, of a lower category of Sakya. He's not in Vatsali Ras. He's not in Madhuri Ras. He's in Shanta Ras. Prahlad Maharaj is the beginning of pure devotion. It begins in seventh canto. The beginning of Prema Bhakti with Shanta Ras begins in seventh canto. Before that is all mixed bhakti, fifth canto, sixth canto, etc. And some examples of Prema, of pure bhakti also mixed in there. And finally coming into seventh canto, then eighth, ninth, tenth, and it's fully developed. So Prahlad, although he was seeing, constantly seeing the Lord within his hearts, he always longed for a vision of the all-powerful Lord with his eyes. The proof of this fact is that one day when Prahlad Maharaj was sitting on the shore of the sea, he obtained the direct darshan of Bhagavan. Thereafter, the bhava of his ecstatic love especially increased. This is told in Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. Hari Bhakti Sudodaya tells the pastime of Narahari Leela in a different kalpa. And I read the book. It's a very interesting book, an exciting book about Shringadev and Prahlad Maharaj. Once in Mayapur a few years ago, we told the story of Prahlad Maharaj narrating from that. Vaikuntha may have that, I don't know. We narrated about the history of Hiranyakashipu. You know, it was Nrisimha Chaturdasi, so we told the whole pastime from Hari Bhakti Sudodaya. Some slight variations is there, very nice. So he was just sitting alone meditating on the Lord, and he had direct darshan. So although he was meditating, he was also desirous. So what happens if you see God? Sometimes it happens that when someone attains direct darshan of Krishna, their eyes close and their other senses become inert. When this occurs, it's not because they're meditating on him within, rather it's an expression of the ecstatic symptoms as the devotee becomes overwhelmed with bliss. This is a specific transformation of love, prema vikar, similar to the sattvic bhava symptoms headed by shivering. So closing of the eyes and losing consciousness, It can be due to, it's not that you're just closing your eyes to meditate on the Lord in your heart. You're seeing the Lord and you're so overwhelmed, you may faint. There's eight symptoms of sattvic, means eight. Sattvic bhavs, I mean ashta sattvic bhavs. There's eight different symptoms of transformation in the body upon contacting transcendence, internally or externally. And when one sees the Lord, then it creates such a transformation that one may totally faint. It's called pralaya, devastation. Pralaya means destruction or devastation. Pralaya is it's the eighth symptom. He's like, oh my Lord. And he saw the Lord, and he closed his eyes, and I fainted out in ecstasy. And then he thought, oh, I'm not seeing him. And then he opened his eyes, and again he saw. It's a little different, but sorry. Lord Brahma did severe penances, and only while deeply absorbed in meditative samadhi did he attain Bhagavad Darshan, and he was touched by the Lord, engaged in a conversation with him, and thereby received great mercy from Krishna personally. The purport is of this pastime, by the process of dhyana or samadhi, some devotees receive the favor of the Lord. So if you're a devotee or a bhakta, as Brahma was, although he was doing dhyana and meditation for a thousand celestial years, sitting in Padma Asan on the Padma, on the lotus flower, sitting in Padma Asan, meditating for a thousand celestial years, and because he had a mood of devotion, he had the darshan. He shook hands with the Lord, he had darshan of the Lord. So that's the exception. There is never any fixed rule governing the Lord's appearance. He has been perceived only by Brahma and other Bhagavad Bhaktas of his caliber. But the conclusive truth is that the most profound bliss is definitely attained by beholding him personally with the eyes of the other senses. So, it is possible to see the Lord directly with the eyes if he bestows his mercy upon one. So this is what's desired by Satyabrata Muni in the sixth verse. Grihare shamam agyam edyakshi drishya. O all-pervading Vishnu, O Bhaktivatsala Damodar, O Deva, O Ananta, you have an inconceivable potency. O Prabhu, O my Master, Prabhu, O supremely independent Isha and Controller, be pleased with me, Prasida. I am sinking deeply into the ocean of sorrow, dukkha, jalabdi magnam. Favor me by showering the rain of your merciful glance, britam dristi, dristyati, dinam pratanu, upon this fallen soul, whom so pitifully fallen, and grant me your direct darshan. Ed yakshi grishna, agyam, agya, agya means order. Grant me, order me, give me agyam. Agyam means grihanesha. Uplift me, O Isha, grihan. Uplift me, grihanesha mam. Pick me up and grant me your direct darshan. Sri Namadastakam ki. Jai.